Linda Burney, welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you, Patricia.
Before Ken Wyatt gave his speech last month at the National Press Club, Anthony Albanese and Scott Morrison announced they'd agreed to take a bipartisan approach to constitutional recognition. What does that mean for Labor, and what does that mean for the process now?
The most important thing is that I don't think a bipartisan approach is a race to the bottom. It's actually striving for excellence. I've had one meeting with Ken along with Patrick and Warren and Malandiria and a number of others. And we've agreed to work together, but we also understand there are some fundamental differences that we need to sort through.
Let's talk about those fundamental differences, because it seemed that Ken Wyatt was keeping the door open on this issue of enshrining a voice in the Constitution. Prime Minister seems to have shut that down. Do you think it's shut down now? Where is that at?
I think the Prime Minister has shut it down, and that's going to provide the point where we need to really work collaboratively. I am saying clearly to the Prime Minister, have an open heart and open mind, because we can't realise the truth of the Uluru Statement, which is absolutely about a constitutionally enshrined voice, if the voice is only going to be legislated and there be recognition within the Constitution. Now, when you think about it, Patricia, 3 years goes very quickly, as you know, in a parliamentary term. And if you work back from the idea of having a referendum this term on recognising First Peoples in the Constitution, not the voice, but First Peoples, then there really needs to be a bit of a hurry up about the co-design process.
Let's be blunt. Last year, the Garma Festival was conducted before the federal election.
It was.
Labor had promised to deliver a referendum.
Yes.
The government at the time still was concerned, as they are now, with this particular proposal. You lost the election.
That's correct.
You're not in government.
Yep.
How does that shift the dynamic of Garma this year? We have, of course, at the opening ceremony, the first Indigenous person as Minister for Indigenous Affairs in Ken Wyatt. How does that shift the dynamic here?
I think it does shift the dynamic. It'll be interesting to see whether or not the Prime Minister shows. It appears that he's not coming. Anthony Albanese is coming and is doing an address to the festival tomorrow afternoon about 3 or 4 o'clock. And Anthony will be talking about the embrace of the Uluru Statement in its entirety. Now, this is important. What the debate has melted down to is just about the voice to the Parliament and whether it will be legislated, enshrined or whatever. But we are saying in Labor, we embrace the three elements of the Uluru Statement, which includes a Makarrata Commission to pursue the notion of treaty and truth-telling, as well as an enshrined voice. Now, what Aboriginal people really want to see is certainty about that voice. That's why the Constitution's become so important, because it's seen as a way of not having what happened to ATSIC, and that was a disbanding of that organisation.
If the government doesn't shift on this, and at this stage, as we begin the Garma Festival, there is no indication that the government has shifted on this. There are many voices in that party room that are opposed. Is the obligation on Indigenous Australians to change or alter the Uluru Statement or to shift the position?
The way I look at this is a long game. We're not going to get it sorted out here at Garma. I think Garma is going to be an important step in seeing what the direction is. But Aboriginal people have been dealing with governments for a very long time and are very pragmatic about things. I'm not closing the door on anything. I am still, as is Labor, committing ourselves to what the Uluru Statement has said. And the onus, Patricia, is not on Labor. It's actually on the government to see what they are going to do in terms of moving forward.
How much power does the voice actually give Indigenous people? Is there a danger that even something enshrined in the Constitution might not actually deliver the kind of self-determination people are seeking?
Look, I think that's a really important observation. And I think we need to have a lot more thinking around what it actually means. When you have a look at what sits behind the Uluru Statement, the voice is advisory. It doesn't challenge the sovereignty of the parliament, and parliaments can choose to listen to the voice or not listen to the voice. I think it has to be an elected body. I think it has to have gender parity, and I think everyone's agreed to that. But to me, there is still a long way to go with what this body should look like. And Patrick Dodson and Julian Lesser are talking this afternoon about the co-design process. So it really is what comes out at the end of that process, and that will be with First Nations people. You know, you go to some of these really tiny remote communities, they have never heard of the Uluru Statement. You know, we're quite obsessed by it, but not everyone is. Everyone, as you say, is interested in getting through the day and making sure people are looked after. So, in essence, there's a long way to go. The onus for me is clearly on the government in relation to where they take a referendum and whether it happens in this term of government or not. And Labor's position is very clear, but we are saying, and I am saying, we want to work collaboratively. We want to work as far as possible with the government, and this is too important for it to not be a bipartisan approach.
If there was a referendum tomorrow with this proposition, a voice enshrined in the Constitution, do you think it would be successful?
I do think it would be successful. I think there would be the usual suspects. We know who those are that would run the no case. We know what the argument would be. It'd be about separatism, special treatment, etc., etc. But my sense is that it doesn't matter what forum you go to. When you mention the voice, there is a spontaneous clapping. People understand that what's going on now is fundamentally not fair, and what's going on now has to change, and maybe this is a way of changing it.
We are talking to you here at the Garma Festival, just as the festival begins. It's a pretty important day. What's special about this festival? Why is it important to have your leader, you now, as a very senior member of the front bench in this portfolio here? What is the value of this meeting?
I think the value of Garma is that it brings over 2,000 Australians together. It's on the traditional land of the Gumut. There is an enormous mixture of discussions of contemporary issues of disadvantage and self-determination with a strong cultural overlay. And it is non-Aboriginal people respecting traditional Aboriginal culture and understanding that this part of the country is a very special country. And I was walking around outside, and I didn't realise I was walking on top of bauxite. So there is the story of the mine, the story of Kakadu. It's where the bark petitions came from, and it's where there is such strong traditional culture and language that's so much a part of this festival.
Much has been written. In fact, I've had many words to say about the fact that both you and Ken White are Indigenous Australians in these key portfolios, advocating, developing policy for your own people.
Mm.
Of course, a very diverse people, many nations, many languages, but it's an incredible moment, really. What's your sense of the moment around all of that in terms of Garma, both of you being here?
Sure. Well, Patricia, the sense of the moment came to me during NAIDOC week at the ball in Canberra, because Canberra, of course, was the focus. And Ken and I presented the Elder Awards together, and we walked on stage together, arm in arm. And the people there just cheered and clapped. And I said, you're seeing history here. And people understood, and I think that that's going to be the same reaction here. I've known Ken White for 30 years, and we have worked together before. He is a good, decent man, and we both understand intimately and intrinsically the issues facing First Nations people in this country, and we are respected within our parties, and I think we're respected across the community. And that, to me, is a pretty good start to hopefully getting an outcome that everyone can sign up to.
You've talked about wanting to focus in particular on the suicide epidemic in the Kimberley. You've been visiting the area, and the government also wants to focus on this. What have you learned, and what kind of work can you do together on this?
Well, we're going to start a bush trip next Sunday. I don't know how I'm going to go with swags and four-wheel drives. But
it's good to be honest. I'm with you, but we give it a good go, don't we?
I am going to give it a good go. One of the things we'll be doing is, or I'll be doing, is particularly talking to women and families on the way. We haven't advertised it. You don't need to. It's all word of mouth. And you know how that happens. And it just seems to me, and I've done this work in the past, that the investment has to be in the early stages, not when people are falling off the cliff. And that's things like early childhood education. That's things like nutrition and working with young mums. That's where I think the answers lay.
The government has also said it wants to focus on this. In fact, I think an idea just today has been floated by Ken White in terms of unemployed people involved here. Do you support that proposal he's put forward?
I've seen it online this morning. I travelled up with Ken to Darwin last night, and the idea is that particular people on the CDP program, which is a Work for the Dole program, would be given some training to be mentors and act as a 24-hour touchstone for young people who are having thoughts of harming themselves and deep, dark thoughts like that. I think it has enormous potential, but I just haven't seen the details of it. And you would have to be very careful about the people that are selected at a community level. But the idea of having a 24-hour touchstone for young people is a great one.
Linda Burney, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.